You have your Bibles. Open up to Genesis 3. This is where it all began. About what we're talking about. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Now, the serpent was different than the modern day snakes because if you were to look in verse 14, he says that you will be crawling on the belly, on your belly from here on out. So apparently it must have been walking. Satan can not only speak through the serpent, but we know that he can tempt and speak through other people as well. Did God really say? He got them to question what God has told them. He's very cunning, very, very crafty, and will always try to manipulate into doing what he wants you to do. Satan will speak through other people. He will try to push and test the boundaries that you have set in your life. He loves getting to everyone else's business just to disrupt what God is trying to do in your life. So he will question whether or not if it's really God's will for your life every single time. He's there to put that doubt in you. You know, one of the things that I hear sometimes, and sometimes we may do it, I don't think I've ever said it myself, but I've never understood why anybody would say, well, I'm just going to play the devil's advocate for a little bit. I'm not going to try to get religious on that. All I'm saying is the word advocate means counselor. It means you're pleading on someone else's cause. So basically, they're saying, what I'm getting ready to say, I surrender my thoughts, my will, my words to Satan. I'm getting ready to speak on his behalf. I don't ever want to be any kind of the enemy's advocate ever. We have an advocate who's the Holy Spirit. He's our advocate. He's our counselor. And we can live with him every single day. We can walk with him. We can talk with him. He's our advocate. In verse 2, it says, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. And Satan says, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. Genesis 2:17 says this. It says, God says, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. He's getting them in question. He's coming against what God has already spoken. People in society will come against what God has already spoken. When you're watching television, you see a commercial, they'll put out information that comes against what God has already spoken. We read the newspaper. Anybody read newspapers still? No, you don't get it delivered. Or when you're on social media, there are things that will come against what God has already spoken, and then sometimes we entertain it, and then it gets us to that place of doubt. The Lord told me not to take that trip. Okay. Well, there's really nothing wrong with taking a trip. There's really nothing wrong with spending time with your family. There's really nothing wrong. But if the Lord told you not to, that's what you go off of. Well, the Lord told me not to give. I don't know if the Lord ever told you not to give. He may told you where to give and how much to give. But see, people will talk you out of it. I just kind of tune people out who sit there. You're not supposed to give. You're not supposed to tithe. I said, listen, you're a day late and a dollar short because I'm a giver. We're givers. We're not ever going to stop giving because we've seen what it's done in our life. We honor God with it. And we're allowing him to bless the work of our hands. We're allowing him to continue to bless what we sow. Because he said he'll multiply the seed that is. Well, he can't multiply what you don't sow. So I'm not going to listen to anything that contradicts his word, regardless of where it came from. If the Lord tells you don't go, don't do it. And someone else is trying to get you. It could be a great friend. Here's the thing. You go with what God said. Even if I say something. Please do not put the title. And well, Pastor Tim said this, if the Lord spoke to you, I am not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak through me, but the Holy Spirit can also speak to you. And in my life, I don't go off of someone else's discernment for my life. I go off of discernment that God has given me and what the Holy Spirit is telling me. Because some people will lead you down the wrong path. They don't mean well. They mean well, but they'll try to lead you down the wrong path. So that's why that discernment comes in handy. That's why being able to listen to the voice of God is important. Did God really say it? Yeah, he said it. He said it. I know he said it. He spoke to me. So anything that you're saying should be confirming what he's already spoken into our hearts. What I'm saying should already confirm what has already been spoken in your heart if it's by the Holy Spirit. He's your advocate. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. But Pastor Tim, you got to understand. I don't get why people will leave churches. They won't go to church. And it's usually the babes that don't go because they'll get offended. Even if mature people do get offended, they still come. They don't like what I say or what a pastor may say. They still come. They may not agree with them. They still go. Do you mean to tell me it's because of theological reasons for why you're not going to a church? God can grow you. God can get you the word. He can give you knowledge. I don't go to that church because they don't preach the word of faith. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they don't preach it. What are they preaching? Are they preaching the word? Yes. Okay. Believe it. But that wasn't the reason why you stopped going. They don't preach. They don't talk on the Holy Spirit anymore. I said, okay, so what's stopping you from going home and opening up your Bible, getting into the word, John 14, John 15, 1 Corinthians 12. What's stopping you from getting into the word and listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you and growing from that? Even if you're going somewhere, they don't preach on the Holy Spirit can preach to you. He's your counselor. He's your teacher. And you can also do this. I am not against anybody, anyone, getting on a podcast and listening to another preacher and teacher. It's gonna be how you grow. I don't care if you get on YouTube and listen to a preacher. Get your Bible. Get that notepad. Take notes. Because if I were to take online classes, I would be watching a video. Take your notes. See, the thing is that people don't want you to grow. The enemy doesn't want you to grow. I want you to grow spiritually. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't know everything. But what I do know, I promise you, I will share it with you. So that we're not lacking any good thing. You cannot, no one can stop you from growing in the word. Yourself. You're the only person that can stop you from growing. Literally. No one can stop you from praying. No one can stop you from believing. No one can stop you from seeking God and spending hours at a time in his presence. No one can stop you from, you can have your own revival. No one can stop you from doing Bible studies. No one. Sorry, when the beat hits, man, I just get to going. I can't help it. It's my nature. That's right. Whose ringtone was that? No, I'm saying it's pretty cool. Send it to me. I want to. See, the thing is, we just come up with so many excuses. And we're going to get to more on this. The first excuse in the Bible is in Genesis. There's a button on the side. No, it's fine. You're good. Verse 5, it says, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Well, that settles it. It's not what God has spoken to you. It's whatever Satan has said. It's not the one who created you and everything that we see, but it's the one who came to twist and destroy what God has created that they chose to listen to. The Holy Spirit can speak through your wife, but so can Satan. The Holy Spirit can speak through your husband, but so can Satan. That's why you have to discern that. But I don't think that's the Lord. The only word that you should be hanging on is the word of God. It's difficult to be manipulated when you can discern the voice of God for your life, for your life. In verse 7, it says, at that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. They didn't die right away physically, but spiritually they did. It took years and years and years and years, over 900 and some years for them to die, literally die. They were basically created to live forever. But they wanted more. They had everything that they needed in life that God had given them. They did not even have to put seed in the ground. There was a tree there already. I don't want us to get complacent to the point to where, or discontent that we don't cherish what God has done for us in our lives to where we're wanting more of something else other than him and what he's given us. And then we turn around and make excuses for why this happened and why that happened. Their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his woman heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. So no matter what your condition is, God will always pursue you. People would say, I found God, but God is the one who really finds you because we hide ourselves. Sin will make us a coward. Sin will make us afraid. It'll get us into fear. He says, then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Adam and Eve were lost spiritually, and God came to find them. He seeks after those who are lost. Jesus goes after the lost sheep. He seeks those who are lost. He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. See, fear. Fear gotten him into hiding. For God did not give you a spirit of what? But of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. But fear got them to the place to where they hid from God. Fear will get people to the place to where they don't want to come to church. Fear will get people to the place to where they don't want to do the Bible study. Fear will get people to the place to where they don't want to pray anymore. Fear will get people to the place to where they don't want to believe anymore. Fear. And it never comes from God. So how can we go and say, well, God is really doing this when you're still operating in fear? That's not coming from God. That's coming from the enemy. The thought life. He attacks your mind. That fear. You don't ever have to fear. Doesn't mean you're not going to have an opportunity to, but you also have an opportunity every single day to walk in faith. To use your faith. To exercise your faith. To trust more in God. Fear. Verse 12 says, the man replied, it was the woman. You gave me, who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. He's blaming Eve. He's making an excuse, and he's blaming God. You gave me this woman. I didn't ask for a woman. I didn't ask for a wife. I didn't ask for Eve to be in my life. I was good with you till you put me to sleep and took a rib. Excuses. Sarah. Remember Sarah in the Bible? She told Abraham, go ahead and sleep with my maidservant. And then went after he did that, what, by her instructions, and they have a, she has a kid, and then she started seeing Hagar care for her son, Ishmael, and then she became jealous of it. And then she got mad at Abram. You were the one who slept with this woman. Wait a minute, you told me to do this. Sometimes being impatient can get us to the place to where we get out of the will of God and then we make an excuse for why we had done it. We blame God. We can't blame God for us not listening. You know, there's a time, I shared this before. I love it because it's such a good story for me. But I'm a junior in high school. Now I should be playing hoops. I'm balling. I see my time. I'm playing about 8 minutes coming off the bench, which isn't much as a junior. My brother's a senior. He's been playing since a freshman. Started on varsity as a sophomore, what have you. And so I'm seeing my time diminish from 8 minutes to 4 minutes. Oh, wait a minute. This is going backwards here. Should be getting more. So I went to my dad, complained. I'm not getting any time, Pops. He goes, you shouldn't get any time. You dribble the ball too high. They steal the ball from you. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. Forget that, man. You're telling me the truth. I don't want to hear that. So I go to my brother, sit on his bed. And you know, yeah, you make that big old sigh. Still doing his work. What's up, man? I want to play. He goes, you're not listening to the coach. You need to work harder. Coach is telling me that. Dad's telling me this. My brother's telling me this. My coach is telling me this. So I had to look myself in the face and be like, you know what? Let's go work. After practice from 3 to 5, I get home 5:30, grab a snack. I'm at the park until the lights went off every single night. Didn't even matter if we had a game or what happened the next day or the day before. I was there working. I put in the work. I stopped making excuses. There's a dude who has a big old motivational thing, yoga whippy, you only get out what you put in. I wasn't putting in the work, so I had to put in more work. But I also had to do somewhat. Listen and be quick to listen, slow to speak, or slow to make an excuse. Slow to complain, slow to blame. I put in the work. And then as soon as I got my shot, I entered the starting lineup mid-season. Now, if I would have just been complaining and making excuses, I probably would have quit. Wouldn't have gotten the drugs or in a gang or whatever. Who knows? That would have been an easy thing to do. It's easy to quit. It's easy to give up. It's easy to just be like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm over it. That's easy to do. God doesn't call us to do the easy thing. Making an excuse is an easy thing. But when we take ownership, what would have happened if Adam would have just took ownership in that? You ever think about that? Lord, it was wrong. I was wrong. I saw my wife. I saw Eve. the woman you gave me, talking with the serpent, and I didn't stop her. And Eve would say, I let the serpent deceive me. It was my fault. I shouldn't have never given that apple, or not, that wasn't an apple, the fruit, to my husband, to Adam. If they would have just took ownership in that rather than just blame, what would have happened? In Exodus, here's another one. It says, but the Lord said, go down. This is when Moses went up to go see God, and he got the commandments on the tablet. And he says, listen, your people are out there. They're doing something wrong. You need to go down and see them. And then we pick up in verse 24. He says, but the Lord said, go down and bring Aaron back up with you. In the meantime, wait, do you have 19 through 24? Or did I just put 24? Hold on. Let me get that the right way. Maybe I gave you the wrong one. Exodus 32, 19 through 24. I didn't even put 32 on there. Man. But see, they came to Moses. Came to Aaron because they were having so much. They didn't know what Moses was doing. He was taking so long. And so Aaron tells them, go get the gold earrings from your wives, from your sons and daughters, bring them here. And then Aaron takes this gold, he melts it down, he molds it into a calf, and then he puts it there. I wonder how much gold it was and how big it was, man, my goodness. And then they see it and they're excited. They're saying, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. And then Aaron saw how excited they were. And he's like, tomorrow we're going to have a festival to the Lord. And God tells Moses, go on down. He says, verse 19, he says this. When they came near the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and he burned with anger. He threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf they had made and burned it. Then he ground it into powder, threw it into the water, and forced the people to drink it. Finally, he turned to Aaron and demanded, what did these people do to you to make you bring such terrible sin upon them? Don't get upset, my Lord. Aaron replied, you yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, make us gods who will lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So I told them, whoever has gold jewelry, take it off. When they brought it to me, I simply just threw it in a fire and it came out this calf. And out came this calf. That's not what happened. But he's making an excuse. This man took the time to mold it. Inform it, and then said, we're going to have a festival. This is our God. Excuses. People, you're not the only one who's made an excuse in life. It was already done before you. Thank God that we have an advocate, a comforter. Thank God we have a high priest who understands what we go through. Thank God we have a Savior who have died for our sins, that even when we make an excuse, he's like, yeah, that's not really. We got that conviction inwardly. I can tell us, hey, you need to tell the truth. You don't live for what is right. You live for what is true. You can't keep making excuses. An excuse after excuse after excuse. But why don't you do this? Why don't you serve? Well, I served in my time over here and I'm just done serving. Listen, to the day you die, you're not ever going to stop serving. See how Merlene responded? But you don't ever stop serving because then you lose purpose. I love it. I said, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's sad, but I don't know everyone's situation. But when you see some of the elderly at Walmart greeting you, it's purpose. They don't want to sit at home all day long. watching soap opera as the stomach turns. They want to be out there shaking hands, greeting people, loving on people, what have you, talking, having some conversation. Why? Because there's purpose in that. Just to give you a smile, tell their latest joke that they may have heard, show you how they're operating on social media because they're proud of that. There's purpose in that. But I love the fact that they don't make excuses. I have the privilege of praying and helping somebody, leading them to the Lord. A gentleman here in this community, he used to own a janitorial business here, Clean Right. And every time I go in there, we get church supplies. He would always talk about basketball. I loved it because he was just excited. He was excited about his son coaching and stuff. But he had, I believe he had pancreatic cancer. Yeah, it was pancreatic cancer. And so I ended up praying with him at his place. I didn't know he was still working. I mean, he didn't want to sit around the house. He went into work two days a week, even though after he had sold his business, he was still trying to work and trying to do things. People are saying, hey, take it easy. It's got purpose. So I had the opportunity to pray with him and then eventually lead him to the Lord. You just never know where people are at. You know, when you have your children, they're growing up, they got a lot of excuses. And you know when they're telling you the truth and when they're lying to you. You just cut through all that lie. Hey, tell me the truth. My kids were perfect. They never lied. Isaiah said, if only you knew. That's why. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is with us. I love the fact that you can be transparent, but when we start making excuses, that's when we're getting off into the deep end. That's when we're getting stuck. There was Ananias and Sapphira. She was over here following what her husband had told her. And it resulted in what? Them dying because they were lying to the Holy Spirit. She could have changed it all up if she would have just told the truth. You can't keep making excuses. We can as a body of Christ. Well, I'm not going to go to church today because I didn't like what Pastor said the other week. Get in line. There's probably a lot of people, maybe 80%. I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I'm not going to make an excuse because I believe I'm saying what the Lord has given me to say. Take it up with him. Or if not, we got you can put it on a 3x5 card and we got two bins right outside there and you can put them in there. Just got to step on it first, isn't it? Hopefully we'll get to it. That's fine. No, I love you. Romans 14:12 says this. Yes, each of us will what? Give a personal account to God. So when we stand before him, it isn't going to be, oh God, I didn't know. Well, it's in his word. God, I never read that. You had time to. I didn't see that. Well, I never heard the gospel preached to me. Well, you had several people that preached to you and you didn't want to listen. We're all going to have to give a personal account to God. You can't speak it and talk it and do it for someone else. It's your own personal account. Because we're without excuse. Philippians 2 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I never had a chance in believing in your name. Every knee. When we stand before God, all the excuses are out the window. And 1 Peter 1:7 says, 1:17 says this, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. We are just passing by. This isn't our place of residence forever. I said, we're going to go home and be with the Lord. I said, but here's the thing. I said, living in reverent fear is honoring God and fearing him in a way to where it doesn't dishonor him or offend him. You may not be afraid of police officers, and sometimes I say, this is different in cultures. In the Black community, I said there are some people who are afraid because of things that may have happened over the years past and things of that nature. So they carry that fear from generation to generation to generation. It's kind of like it's embedded in the Black community. But in reality, I said, you know, I stopped fearing the cops because you hear the stories. It wasn't from my parents, but it was from friends and things. I stopped fearing when I stopped doing wrong. You know, it's a lot better to drive with a license rather than on a suspended license or using your brother's, you know, old ID and stuff and just trying to pass it on as your. See, when you're doing wrong and you're doing evil, you're always going to be looking behind like, you got to sneak around. I'm just thankful that the favor of God was on my life because I wasn't living in fear. So anytime I did get pulled over, if I did, I don't think I ever got pulled over for DWB. Y'all know what that is? Okay. Never did. But you know, once the police officers, one particular time, we were going to, loaded with my friends. I didn't have my license. Didn't have my license. I got my car first before I got my license. I didn't get it until I was 18. Because I rode the bus as a senior to school. So that'll humble you. So, but here's the thing. We were driving. They pulled us over. My windows were tinted because I bought my first vehicle at 18. Carload of friends packed. So we're like this, you know, just, and we're going to go watch my brother play football. And he pulls us over. He goes, "See your license?" I just show him my identification card. That's not a driver's license. He goes, "Nunnery, you wouldn't be a part of Lethal Weapon 3, would you?" I say, "Yeah." Because me and my cousins, they called us Lethal Weapon 3 with my two other cousins that we played in ball, and we were on an all-star team and we was killing them. So that the newspaper dubbed us Lethal Weapon 3. He goes, "You wouldn't be part of Lethal Weapon 3? I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Have somebody, anybody here have a license to drive? Have them drive." I said, "All right, let me go." He could have took me in. Favor of God. Could have been doing time. And here's the thing, rightfully so. And I could have made an excuse after excuse, but when it comes down to it, is it the truth? The truth will make you free. So we can't keep giving excuses. Last scripture, Romans 1. It says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." I don't know where all of you are at. I really don't. And even online. But if it's gotten you to the place to where you just stop believing in God, I'm going to let you know. He is who he says he is. And sometimes we may not be a great representation of him. But that shouldn't stop you from pouring in and seeking him for yourself and getting to know him better. If you put your trust in him, you believe in him, You don't have to worry about what other people are doing. You stay focused on what you're doing with him. Because we are without excuse. There is really no such thing as an atheist. They can clearly see his invisible qualities. You cannot look outside this world and say, this just happened. The human body is very, very complex. And I'm learning more and more. Your own body will detoxify itself if you ain't eating all the time. Fasting. It'll clean itself out. That just happens. God gave you two outlets to release gas. That doesn't just happen. Sometimes it do. Just make sure it's not an SBD. But we're without excuse when it comes to him. So make it a point in your life today and every single day that God gives you no more excuses. I'm gonna press in. It's what you say matters in my life. And if people are saying things that line up with it, that's someone you can roll with. But see, it's more important for you to hear the voice of God yourself rather than somebody always telling you something. You've got to know him. To know God is eternal life. To know the Father, that's eternal life. Some people may know you, but they don't know you know you. You know what I'm saying? They say, your family will know you. And then you have friends that may know you. You may have people that might know of you, but they don't really know you. God wants you to know him. Know him. I can't know him for you. That's your own personal account. You have to get to know him. I don't have any time, Lord. You do. I don't have any knowledge. Turn your phone off. You have a wealth of knowledge at the tip of your fingertips anyway. But you can turn your phone off. You can call Miss Vicky up. Or even after service, we got a lending library here. And we have a wealth of information there that you can sit down and read. If you need to grab yourself a cup of tea or some water or coffee, whatever fruity drink you may need. I used to like sweet tea, but I don't drink sweet stuff anymore. Matter of fact, just a little fun fact here. You get a notice for water. They detected water leak in our home. And in the water leak, I just started drinking more water. And if you drink a lot of water, what's going to happen? It comes right out. So they're thinking, that's unusual. Yeah, I'm drinking a lot of water, and it ain't pop. But you can sit down and spend a lot of time reading. Read a book. Gain more knowledge. You don't need a degree to grow. So what's stopping you from learning more? Nothing. Reading is fundamental. I'll spend at least 30 minutes a day just reading more on finances and stuff, financially, being more financially literate. Read. Spend time in the Word. Grow. I want you to grow. God wants you to grow. Because this isn't the end for you. If you cap yourself, you're going to be limiting God in your life and what he can do. So you take that off and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, however you want to use me, whatever it is, I'm all for it. Let's enjoy the ride. But I'm done making excuses. Start dreaming again. Dream big. And I'm talking about big. Where you can't do it in your own, but dream big. I like to have a school of worship. Dream big. That's funny because we were just talking last night, and it's almost like we paid our kids not to take music because we didn't want to go to the recitals and stuff. That's a long time, man. Hey, we'll pay you. We'll take you out to Applebee's if you don't sing tonight. Well, let's stand. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that that we can rely on you in everything that we do. That we can dream big with you. But Lord, we're stopping the excuses for why we can't be a light in this community, why we can't be a light in our family. We're stopping the excuses. And we just yield ourselves to you. The Holy Spirit, our true advocate. And we thank you. If there's anyone here at the sound of my voice who you've never given your life to Jesus, you never made him your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, we will pray with you and lead you to the Lord. Just raise your hand real quick. Well, let's just say this. Lord, we thank you today. I give my life to you. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And 3 days later, you were raised to life. Your word says, by my confession of salvation and believing in my heart, I shall be saved. Lord, I believe in your name, and I thank you for saving me, for cleansing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you said that, you confessed it, you believed it in your heart, please write in. Let us know that you've given your life today, November 9th. 9th, right? 2025. Amen. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.